This episode of The Seminarian is sponsored by Asbury Theological Seminary. Hey everyone, and welcome to The Seminarian, where we talk about seminary life, theology, and the things that form us as Christians. I'm Josh, and in this episode, which by the way is on YouTube, it's going to be more of a visual episode. I'm sharing my screen right now, but on this episode, we're going to be talking about how to study for finals. So I've got about 3 weeks left in my semester, and I'm already stressing out. And I wanted to do kind of a group therapy episode and just invite you into my anxiety. So that's what this is about. But seriously, we're going just to be talking about simple strategies, ways that we can go through final season without losing our salvation and maybe even getting good grades. And so we're going to be talking about different study strategies, some time management, just different ways that we can be thoughtful and prayerful about what we're actually learning, and again, how to make sure that we put that polish and get good grades at the end of this. And I think this episode would be really good for those who are maybe in college or at a graduate level educational institution, but maybe also for those who are working and have big projects that are due. And so some of the skills that we're going to talk about, the strategies, are going to parallel to that situation. But first off, you're going to need one of these bad boys. This is a Red Bull, just the classic flavor, my drink of choice. Or some kind of caffeine. We're not going to be talking about how to crunch. I'm actually very much against crunching. But any excuse to get my hands on a Red Bull is time and money well spent. So the first thing that I want to talk about is just the whole kind of ethos of finals. And it is really easy, and I fall into this temptation all the time, to fall into the mindset that this is just about grades, it's just about getting it done. And I know that that is not the intention of the professors or the academic institution that's putting together a final. It's not to say, hey, how can we make all of our student body just freak out and just do rushed work that's thoughtless? It's not that. And I'm very much against any kind of study strategy that's like crunching and just trying to spit out a paper or something like that. So without being able to kind of have a little bit of margin and to buffer and kind of manage our time well, it will inevitably turn into that. It will descend into chaos. And so the idea for going into finals, kind of the ethos of the whole thing, is how can this experience help transform me? Because I'm pretty sure most professors are wanting a final project to be kind of the synthesis of everything else that you've been learning in the class. So for instance, I'm in an inductive Bible study course, which is like a hermeneutic course. And the final project is going to be about taking all of these different parts of what we've been learning, from doing detailed observations to doing segment surveys and then doing interpretation and consulting commentaries and all of these different parts of the mechanism, and putting it all together and actually having some practice behind it. And so the idea is actually putting it to real world use and putting it all together. So that's, for instance, one class. Another class might be, it's a research final and it's a, you know, 16 page paper or something like that. And it's again going to be about, okay, you've learned the skills of the researcher, you have that base knowledge to be able to dive in and have an opinion, have a voice about what you're learning. We want that to come to bear in this paper. Yet another one might be a big like exam style. And so you're trying to get all of the wave top high level information of maybe the thousands of pages that you've read on that given topic. I remember last semester I did a basic Christian doctrine, and we had a massive exam, and then there was this two essays that were on some of the councils. And I remember that I was like, oh man, this is all the high level thing. So it's not really dealing with the minutia. It was the most important things in the class. And so I think that's what most professors are trying to do, is they're trying to draw the very best, the kind of, if you don't remember anything else, I want you to be able to use this skill, this competency. And most of the time, you're going to see that on a syllabus. It's going to have something like a learning objective, and it's going to say, hey, by the end of this course, you should be able to do X, Y, and Z. And so really, that's your why. That's the why am I putting all of this effort into a final? It's because it's kind of the capstone of that course. You're trying to put it all together. And that's really, really valuable. In fact, there are a couple courses that I feel like I learned more just doing the final at a gospel catechesis class that was this way. I remember that I put in so much, it was open-ended. Whenever a professor gives me open-ended finals like that, I just go way overboard and kind of, you know, I do it to myself, but I put in so many hours into trying to put this project together that I got the most mileage out of the final than I did for the rest of the class. And so I think that that's what a final is supposed to be about. And so embracing that and not resisting that, I think that's really important to have that mindset where you're saying, this is going to be a lot, but it's going to be worth it. And I want to put effort into this that is, I'm going to be proud of it. I'm going to walk away and say, even if I didn't get, you know, the A or whatever, that I learned a lot through it and that I did my very best. And so that's the kind of final study ethos that I'm going for in this episode. We will learn about ways to be effective and to kind of maximize our time. But again, this is not about how to just crunch, very much against that. So I'm going to talk about a couple things. I want to talk about how to organize and kind of manage your time leading up to finals week. I want to talk about this concept of chunking, which is not being so nervous for a final that you throw up. It's like a credit card. You know how they have four sets of four digits on a credit card? It's this making it more manageable. And so if it's a paper, if it's research, if it's an exam, how can we break up these kind of overwhelming projects and finals assignments into more manageable and hopefully less stress-inducing parts. I also want to talk about ways, especially for exams, that we can keep that information fresh and we can kind of synthesize it, not just parrot what we may have read, but be able to internalize and actually understand what the concepts are. And they call it active recall. So we'll go into that a little bit. And I think I want to show you guys a few websites or apps that can help bring kind of that final polish. Starting here, if you can see my screen, this is, by the way, our website, seminarian.life. And we have resources. You can find all the show notes and transcript for this episode and others that we've made so far. So that's that. I want to go to, let's see here, Trello. Now, it doesn't have to be Trello. There's lots of different ones. There's Asana, there's Monday. They're basically just productivity apps. I mean, you can use Evernote. There's all sorts that I'm sure you can get your hands on. This is free. I've been using it for a long time. And I'm in a missional formation class. It's kind of like a missions/anthropology class. And this is my final project. It's an ethnographic research project. And again, don't pay attention to the details so much or get bogged down by those. But the whole idea is it's got a to-do, a doing, and a done. And then it's got resources, some ideas, files, and just different things that I, as I think about it, I throw it here. And what's really nice is you can make checklists, you can make due dates, you can put attachments. If I go over here, I have one that's just for Asbury. I can put different checklists for, okay, I'm supposed to read these passages. It's due at this time. And that way I can kind of track my status on that and I'm not losing those details. And so again, this is just one way I would just highly suggest if that's your calendar, great. That's awesome. And you're just putting all the details of what's due and when. That's the most important thing, is you're keeping track of it. Nothing is being lost. I was in a class last semester with a lady, and she just used sticky notes for capturing all of those little need-to-knows and just in her book even, her highlighting, just her notes. Her book looked like a paper mache project or like a pinata or something. I mean, it was like all of these Technicolor post-it notes and every, and she just had a system. And that's what I'm trying to say. Be it post-it notes or something like Trello, or just, you know, your notes app on your phone or something, being able to track when things are due, kind of the details on them. So here's a paper that I've got coming up soon. And I attached a PDF of the guidelines of what I need to do for that paper. And then I, you know, if I wanted to, I could do another PDF or a Google Drive of that project. And so again, if that's a binder, a three-ring binder, and you're just, you've got things organized, the point here is be organized. Because I have had classmates who are, you know, asking me or emailing me, or I see them on the discussion post asking questions. And it was, I mean, again, I get it. We're busy. And so some of those details get lost. But I was like, oh, that's already been answered, or you can find those things there. And so just eliminate some of the stress that comes from just the chaos of being disorganized. And I would say I've become an organized person, but per my personality, I'm not usually a very organized person. And something like this, like Trello, has allowed me to become more organized and keep things just straight in my mind. Here's my different classes. Those are the different weeks. And I usually do this at the beginning of the semester, and I just map everything out for each class for the whole semester. And if I have different ideas or resources and things that I find useful, I put those down here, and then I just kind of move it over. It's in my to-do kind of category or bucket, and then doing, then done. So something like Trello is really, really useful. I would also say something really important is becoming familiar with the syllabus of that course. I probably should have started with this one, in all honesty, because there's going to be so many things that are in the syllabus that, again, a syllabus can be kind of a long document at times, but is really important, whether it's the citation style that's required for those papers, or it's the schedule, or it's just instructions on how to even do that one. So for instance, I'm doing, let's see, on the assignments, my assignment is this missions engagement project, which is 40% of my final grade for the course. So my final is 40%, and it's broken up into two parts. And so this gives me all that I need to know about what I need to turn in, when I need to turn it in, the formatting that it needs to be in, all of the information. And another reason that this is super important, especially with like papers, for instance, is a lot of the times when we just kind of get started and we're in a brainstorming session, or we're just in the flow, meaning we're just like, oh, creativity juices are flowing. We start writing stuff that might be great. It might be something we're passionate about, but it wasn't in the syllabus. It wasn't in the assignment description. And so we can waste effort. I had that last semester where I wrote a paper. I think there were 4 points that I need to hit, and I hit 3 of them, and then I kind of added my own point that was not required, and I missed the one that was. And so it's just really important before you get started, maybe read over the assignment instructions 2 or 3 times just to make sure you fully understand it. And if you don't, leads me to tip number 3. So first, be organized. Tip number 2, be well acquainted with the syllabus. Tip number 3 is if there is any point of confusion, ask. Ask your professor. I know for Asbury, we use Canvas, and we have discussion course question dialogues here. And so you could ask a question if the professor or the TA doesn't get back to you right away. Maybe a classmate will have that answer. And so you can ask here. But then you can usually always email the professor directly. And so, you know, you might say, hey, this part of the instructions was a little bit nebulous to me. I didn't quite know what it meant. Can you elaborate? Or I'm interpreting it to mean this. Am I on the right track? And so you can ask those kind of questions, and you're tracking with the professor. They understand your concerns or the challenge that might pose to you, and they can work with you. Every professor that I have had at Asbury has been extremely easy to work with. If I had a question, they answered it. But if I had an extenuating circumstance, you know, I had a situation where I had a kid at the ER, and I was supposed to submit something that night, I was able to reach out And there's grace for that. So again, I would also say on this point though, if you are going to ask and it's not an emergency, like being in the ER or something, I would say ask in advance. Like, you should not be asking your question about your final the day before you're supposed to turn in said final. So try to read the syllabus and figure out what you need to do. If you have questions, ask it earlier on than not. So that's another question for, or rather tip for you. And then I would also say, with that too, is a lot of other classmates, if you have any kind of chat group, or I know for one of my classes, we have a chat that's just on our Google, and we'll ask questions back and forth, and that's helpful, of just being able to say, oh, I missed that message, it didn't come through, or what do you guys think he means when he says you need to turn it in here, or whatever. Those are other great ways to get questions answered. Okay, so that's three tips. The next tip that I want to talk about is actually more about time management and kind of going with the organization thing, but specifically with time. I would say it's really important to give yourself the optimal period of time to work on a project. Meaning, I'm not one of the guys, at least, where I can just fit, you know, 10 minutes here, half an hour here, maybe an hour, and then I get a lot of work done. I have to have at least 2 hours to 4 hours where I can really hone in, because honestly, the first 10 to 15 minutes when I'm working on a project is just, you know, neurons are firing all over the place and I'm not exactly getting traction. And then after that 15 or 20 minutes, the coffee, the caffeine, the Red Bull, it's starting to set in and I'm able to start to think clearly. I've written a couple paragraphs and things are starting to flow. And so when things are flowing, the rule is don't break the flow. Like, stay in the flow as long as you can. And you guys know what I'm talking about. It's just that sweet spot. I have 5 kids. They hate when I'm in flow, apparently. Like, it's every 5 seconds they're asking something, or I'm getting hit by the back of the head with a kickball or something. And so for me, it also means not just guarding my time, but guarding my sacred study space. Like, I have to be at Starbucks or something. And some people think that's distracting. Oh my gosh, it's not. Compared to the Gallardo home, it is not distracting. And so I put in some noise canceling headphones and I can really just focus for, like I said, 3-4 hours and get really great work done. And so have a conducive environment. That probably goes without saying. I don't want to insult anyone's intelligence here, but I know that life gets kind of chaotic. And at some point in time, you have to say, I need this. Like, this isn't just me time, or, you know, being snobby about my workspace. Like, I want to do great work and I need to be in a good environment. And so if that's a library, if that's a coffee shop, if that's I've given my wife some extra money and said, hey, go take the kids to go to a trampoline park or something. I just need to be home by myself working on this. And that kind of brings us up to point or tip number 5, which is, doing good work is going to require sacrifice somewhere. So for most of my classes, on any given week, they say that I'm supposed to invest 10 to 12 hours per class. That's a lot of time. I mean, that's, you know, 36 hours at max for each of those classes. Well, in final season, I feel like it's even more than that. So maybe I'm giving 14 to 20 hours per, I hope not, but per class. Okay, in that week or two, that finals kind of consumes, I'm going to probably need to ask off for work. And that sounds crazy to some people. I work full time. I go to school full time. I know that when finals are coming, I'm going to have to say, hey, I need the whole day to be able to get, again, 6 to 8 hours per course done in this one day. And so I will, thankfully, I save up PTO and I ask for the time off. And my boss knows that, you know, hey, he's doing finals and he needs that time. And so I make that sacrifice. Would I rather be using it For hiking or camping or doing something with my family, absolutely. But I also see the value of being in seminary and getting good grades and giving it my best. And so I take time off. Not everybody's in the position to do that. I totally understand. But I think the principle is you're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to sacrifice obviously time, but perhaps money as well. And we're going to get into a program here in a second that I think is worth the small amount of money that you'd pay for it. But whatever that sacrifice might be for you, unfortunately, it might be a less hobby or you time. It might be less family times, and that's unfortunate. But just know that it's a week or two and you're going to bust it out. And then things are going to kind of go back to normal. But I do think that it requires sacrifice at some point in time. Also with time management, you do want to forecast what you're doing. So you want to say, okay, I've got a 12-page paper or two, let's say, for instance. I want to get 2 pages done today. And over the next, 6 sessions, I'm going to get 2 pages done. And that way you're not coming up to 3 days before it's due and saying that you need to get 7 pages done or something crazy. And, that's your first draft and you need to edit it, revise it, and then send it in. Because we always, at least I'm this way, so maybe there are some of you pessimists that you're pleasantly surprised by how much margin you have. I'm an optimist. So I tend to think that things are going to go faster, it's going to be better than it actually is in reality. So I think, oh yeah, I can get 4 pages done. I end up with 2. So now, being a little bit more experienced, I'm kind of like, you know what? I can safely say that if you give me 2 or 3 hours, I can get 2 pages in, and I'll make sure that those 2 pages are quality and it's going to require minimal editing. And if I kind of plan and think that way I can schedule, okay, 2 pages for this course, I'm going to read these chapters for this course, and you can plan it all out. And then it's all in front of you, and then you just execute. And it's not overwhelming, you're chunking it is what it's called. You're taking it in bite-sized portions. And so that's my first stage, really, is to get organized, to place everything out, to ask my questions if I have any so I have clarity, and then hopefully it's laid out in front of you and you can just execute. That's the goal and the design there. Okay. Well, with that said, tip number 6 is going to be about the editing process. And I invested in a program called Grammarly. This was actually advised to me by one of my professors. And I was getting fairly good grades, but I was getting docked on the rubric. Oh, that's another thing. If they give you an evaluation rubric of this is how you're going to be graded, that's super useful to understand. Well, on that grading rubric, I wasn't meeting the highest level of writing. And so he advised that I look up Grammarly, which is, they've been around for a while, but more recently, kind of in the AI, artificial intelligence space, now they have, it's like back in the day, we used to press F7. And F7 was word processor, spell, and grammar check. And you press F7 and it gives you all the words that are red underlined or whatever, and you could review those. Well, this is like an F7 on steroids. And so Grammarly, this was a pretty long, 6,000 word project I just turned in. And it said that I had over 100 review suggestions, and a bunch of them were, hey, you just wrote this horribly. And when I first was writing it, I was just getting things down and just trying to make sense of all of these different interpretations of Mark 11:15-19. And it was kind of more on the brainstorming side. So then I could kind of go back through and I wasn't missing anything. I could make sure that my grammar was correct. And then it would have clarity examples. So instead of saying it this way, say it in a more succinct and simple way, write with density and concision. There's delivery. Hey, this doesn't sound very confident. It doesn't sound assertive. It sounds like you're not actually sure. What are you saying here? And so it would give me suggestions about the delivery or the engagement. And so Grammarly is used extensively, and you can set this is over here on the right. It shows that I'm choosing MLA as my citation formatting. And so you can set the different kind of formatting you want. You can set, you know, your goals or your preferences. Do you want to use the Oxford comma or not? Those kinds of things. Like, you can really get granular about it, and that's fantastic. And it also just helps you write better. I think that after using this for a semester or two, hopefully I'm learning some of the tricks of the trade. My writing is getting better. So Grammarly, it's pretty cheap. And I think if you have an email that ends with EDU, kind of the education assigned emails, you get a discount. You can get a student discount and it makes it pretty affordable. I want to say it's like less than $12 a month, which is great. Okay, on this point about learning how to write better and refining things, I also want to go on Asbury. We have student resources. Most seminaries or colleges are going to have some kind of writing center or a research center. And so take advantage of these. Every time that I've done this, which has only been twice now, but I've booked like a Zoom meeting with someone from the writing center, and I've asked them, you can even say, hey, this is my first draft of my paper. Would you mind reading this and giving me your feedback? That's fantastic. Because whenever I give, the only other person I give my feedback to in that kind of a way, or my papers to before, is my mom. And her feedback is always 100% A++ with like smoochy emojis and stuff like that. So that's not the most reliable. And the writing center people will probably be a little bit more objective than my mom. I love you, Mom, if you're listening to the podcast. I just need the affirmation. So thanks, Mom. So Writing Center, this is great. You can, again, make an in-person appointment if you're on campus, Zoom appointment, email appointment, and they can just help you. It's just nice to get a third opinion outside of yourself. Sometimes, I don't know if this has ever happened to you. If it has, let me know in the comments section. But I have at times written something that I thought was brilliant, like this is dissertation worthy, and I go to bed, it's usually like 1 or 2 a.m., so that should be an indicator. I wake up, I read this, and I'd be like, this is hot garbage. Like, what was I thinking? I was going to send this to my professor? Crazy. So having an objective person that can still be very kind and professional, but say, hey, you know, this paragraph needs work. Great. Now you know where to focus your attention. And that most likely is going to be a lot of bang for your buck. It's probably going to adjust your score quite a bit. So those are great student resources. Again, try to have this timed out enough that you're not sending your paper a day or two before it's due, but that you actually can send it 5 days before it's due and have time to revise and use that feedback effectively. The Seminarian is made possible by our sponsor, Asbury Theological Seminary, a multi-denominational graduate school called to teach the unchanging truth of Christianity. I have personally learned so much from my professors at Asbury, and hey, you can too. Did you know that over 80% of incoming students received scholarships last year, and many students graduate without tuition debt? Discover how Asbury Seminary makes theological education accessible by visiting asburyseminary.edu/seminary. Okay, back to study tips. One of the ones that I want to talk about is called active recall. And the idea of active recall is that our brains, it's pretty well researched, that our brains do so much better when they're not just overloaded with information, but that, again, it's chunked out over time, and it's not just inputted over time, but there's an output over a longer amount of time as well. So again, just to recap that, instead of drinking from the fire hose and just, I'm going to crunch and read 1,000 pages in one day and I'm going to write all these papers, our brains just don't do well with that. We will hit writer's block, we'll have fatigue, all of that. Instead, using bite-sized tools, and that's the input. So we're writing or we're reading just a little bit, and then the output is also supposed to be manageable. So one of the ways to do that is to ask these kinds of questions, especially for exams, of information. And so I use Quizlet. So Quizlet is like a digital flashcard kind of thing. And it essentially is just like flashcards. You have the answer on one end, and then, you know, you have, it does let you do pictures, which is pretty cool, but you have the definition. So term, definition, and you can make infinite amounts of cards. But these are great because a lot of the times I'm honestly really bad at like remembering names and dates and things like that. And so I need to quiz myself on that. And I notice every single time that I use this technique of active recall, I actually am able to remember it better. And I'm not just able to remember it verbatim, but I'm it starts to kind of stick with me. Like it, the concepts, I'm able to synthesize it better. It just is the relations between each other, all of that starts to kind of come together. And so Quizlet is one way that you can do that. I was a missionary for a while, and I use this to memorize different words and vocabulary for the language that we were learning. But I also always kept in my back pocket 4x6 cards, physical cards with a big rubber band around them. And when I was in the subway train or whatever, I'd just be out looking at those. And that's great. You should do that. You should have a stack of cards or a book that you've highlighted in, and just keep that in your bag. And then on lunch break or just when you have a free moment, take your textbook out. Look at the things that you've underlined. Ask yourself maybe a series of questions that you think is going to be on the exam or the test, and then see if you can get the right answers. Those are great tools to be able. I mean, this is nothing super new, right? Like, we've been doing flashcards for who knows how long. And so it's got a time-tested value to it. And I would say another great way that's kind of like active recall, it's totally like active recall, is being able to explain what you're learning to someone. So to your spouse or your kids, if they'll let you. But just go ahead and say, hey, is it okay? I'm learning about whatever topic it is, and I'm going to just try to summarize this in 3 minutes, and then go for it, and see what they got out of it. And if they understood what you were saying, okay, wow, you're able to articulate things clearly, and that'll probably show up in your paper or your writing. If you're kind of fuzzy and confused about it, they're going to pick up on that, and they'll be able to tell you that, and you'll be able to review that. So these are just some ways to kind of put the final touch before you press that scary submit or send button for your finals. And I hope that these are useful to you. So just to recap a little bit, we have a bunch of different tips. The first tip is be organized. So I was showing you guys Trello, but there's lots of different ways, whether it's a calendar, a three-ring binder, just have the information that you need. Speaking of which, tip number two is be familiar with the syllabus. So this is going to have lots of great information about what the assignment is really trying to get after, and it might even have a grading rubric in there. Make yourself familiar with that. If anything is unclear, make sure you ask your professor. Sometimes there's discussion groups that you can go on and ask your questions there. Other times you can just email your professor directly, and that's great. If you're on campus, stop by his office, ask a question, his or her office. Okay, so that's those three tips. Another tip is segmenting your time. And so remember, it's not about crunch time. We want to avoid that at all costs. We want to lay out everything that needs to be done and put a time and a place for that, a conducive time, a conducive space, to make sure you're putting, I think, you know, 2 to 5 hours in is pretty reasonable, especially for finals. Another one is that you have help. So a lot of the times there's going to be a writing center of some sort or a research center. And so if you get that first draft done, you can send that into a writing center at your school and ask them to review a portion or maybe even all of it and get their feedback from that. So that's great. Make sure you do that enough in advance so that you have time to actually digest that feedback and make adjustments. Speaking of adjustments, there are different websites like Grammarly. I know even ChatGPT, you can have it review your writing as well. Just make sure it doesn't write for you. You can find your grammar, your clarity, your delivery. All of those kinds of things are baked into this. Also, active recall. So especially for exams where you need to have things memorized and you're not allowed to look at maybe your textbook or your notes, It's a closed book exam. Having something like Quizlet is going to be really, really useful, especially if you know what's going to be on the exam, because then you can review it in your spare time. They've got an app for this that can be on your phone. You can have flashcards in your back pocket, and you can review those kinds of things. And then big picture over all of this, the ethos in all of this is to learn, right? That's why you're paying money, not just to get a piece of paper, not just to get a letter, but to actually digest the things that you've been learning. And a final is a great way to see if you've been learning. And also, the final might be a means of learning. You might have to put together all of these distinct pieces, and it comes together in a cohesive whole. And so, without much more to say, I wish you the very best. Be praying for me as well for my finals. And if you have any other recommendations, we'd love to hear about them. Please join the conversation. You can always email us at hello@seminarian.life, or you can comment on either the Facebook or Instagram post of this episode. But either way, we would love to hear from you guys. Until next time, thanks for listening.